Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
And it's all over!
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Roll him out, here's some ground and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric O'Brien, along with Ken Evans and Joby Wan Kenobi, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. I know I promised that Sean would be back.
Sean's not here.
He is not here. I knew we were in trouble when after Kevin won on Sunday night, and I texted him. The only thing back I got was a winky face, and then nothing else. So I don't.
Sean sent you a winky face.
A winky face, and that was the end of it.
Oh,
so,
there you go.
That's
nice having Sean on the show. We'll have a retrospective that uploaded next week.
That completes my my communication with Sean Desay post Kevin Lee winning his second fight in the U.S. In the UFC, I should say.
In the USA.
In the USA.
Yes. USA!
In the
week
UFC.
After 4th of July. USA!
Versus Jesse Robinson, which was a very, very tough fight. But we will start with what happened at UFC 175, which can also apparently be called UFC 175/76, since 76 doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
There'll be a space. There's now two. There's two spaces in UFC history.
Let's get. Well, no, they're going to move it into October. Are they going to number it 176 in October?
No, which would be. I was talking to the guys from the Bleacher Report and Cage Potato last night on Twitter, saying how awesome that would be if it was like UFC 181, and the next week UFC 176.
Let's just do it.
Yeah.
Remember the halves we had
in there
with Chuck Liddell, and I think it was Babalu.
There were some halves, but that will become the second gaping hole in UFC history, once held by the one and only UFC 151, and now will be held by 151 and 176.
John Jones just happy he didn't kill this one.
We will talk a little bit about that in segment two, but we start with UFC 175 as Chris Weidman hangs on to keep his belt in a very game fight with Lyoto Machida. I'm not sure I call it the best title fight I've seen in my life, nor will I call it perhaps the best middleweight fight, but I think it was a great fight and a great test, and kind of the fight that Chris needed to get all of the people that think he doesn't deserve to have that belt to shut their pie holes.
It's exactly the fight he needed, Eric. It's the fight you need to see out of a guy like him when they're calling it a fluke win when you beat Anderson Silva twice.
Right.
He shouldn't have to go in there and get beat up a little, but the fact that he did get beat up a little, especially in that fourth round, and that he took it into the fourth, into the fifth round, and I'm not usually advocating decisions, but he did take it to a decision, which shows he can go all five rounds and win the decision, I think just up the ante here. His stock is higher after UFC 175.
Well, I would almost say that both of their stocks are up, because Lyoto was getting on the wrong end of that beating rounds one through three.
Yep.
And the fourth round really turned it on. And there were moments where it looked like Chris was that was going to be the end and Lyoto could have walked away with the title.
Yeah.
And Chris caps off that night. If you missed the fight, he caps off that night in the last 10 seconds of that fight when Lyoto's going to put a flurry on and see if he can finish him by taking a giant step back and waving him towards him.
Yeah,
like, what more do you have, Lyoto? Because I will take it all.
This is a guy who could be very scary very quickly. It reminds me of John Jones a couple years ago when we started talking about him and going, what are you going to do with this guy? He's still learning. And we weren't really sure about John Jones after he picked up that light heavyweight championship. That next fight, I believe, was Quentin Jackson.
Yep,
and that wasn't a decision, but it took four rounds. It ended up being fight of the night. He fought a former champion, got beat up a little in that fight, and that's when we all kind of knew, okay, John Jones, he could be here to stay. Making the comparisons with Weidman Machida, I think fit right there. And what John Jones did after that is basically rail off wins against a ton of former champions and guys are at the top of the division. I'm looking at Chris Weidman here. I'm looking at the division. You've got Vitor Belfort screaming, saying don't run away. I didn't know anybody was running. Maybe because they're not right in his backyard in Brazil fighting where testing is best for him.
Let's remember to reset the table here. That was the original fight prior to him failing the test in February, which brought
He left the fight.
Yes, he left this fight. And that's what brought Lyoto Machida in and ultimately gave us this fight that we can talk about.
So, I mean, you look at that there. There's a fight that could happen. I know Dana White says he'd like that to happen. I think Luke Rockhold's got a great point. Guy hasn't fought clean in this country in 3 years. It's one of those situations. I don't think he's fought without an exemption now for longer than that. I think we could go, I think it might be even 6 years. So he's obviously got to do all of that work. And Luke Rockhold's like, look, I'll fight you for the title shot or I want a title shot. I do like that Luke Rockhold's basically kind of standing his ground there. Yeah. Look, fine. You know what? I'm not in line for a title shot. How about I fight you? You won't shut up about it? I'm not running. I'm standing right here.
Yeah.
Fight me in the USA where you have to test and you have to go through the systems. But even that said, I'm looking at this list of light heavies. Middleweights.
Yeah.
Some of these guys are light heavies. I'm looking at both of them. There's nobody that's going to beat a guy like Chris Weidman if Weidman keeps doing what he's doing, and especially if he keeps getting better.
Which is interesting when you one of the fights that was moved around this week with the cancellation of UFC 176 was Gegard Mousasi and Jacare, both of whom found out the fight was moved on Facebook as opposed to being called by the UFC, yeah. Which is a problem that they probably should fix, but they haven't yet, so maybe they won't. But these are two guys that are going to fight each other. Either one of them I think you could put in there for a title. You've got Yoel Romero. He is going to fight Tim Kennedy, which I love that fight.
That'd be great.
Two guys, again, that are right in there. And so you've got six guys to choose from here, but I'm not disputing you, Ken. That Chris Weidman we saw on Saturday night could be very scary, especially if he goes through all six of these guys. I don't know what else is there.
Definitely stock up after that fight.
So let's take the guys here, and we'll obviously get to that Ronda Rousey fight in a minute. I think Alexis Davis is still dragging my leg down over here as we start the show. Let's look at these. Okay, we have Vitor Belfort, essentially.
Sure.
Luke Rockhold.
Yep.
Gegard Mousasi.
Yep.
Jacare Souza. Is that what we're looking at?
Tim Kennedy.
And Tim Kennedy.
I'm sorry. Yeah. So if we look at these guys, who's got the best shot? I think I would take Gegard Mousasi.
I'm going to take Rockhold.
You're going to take Rockhold.
I'd take Jacare.
Okay, all right. We're all different here. Okay, so why would you take Jacare, Joe?
His hands are bombs right now.
Yeah, his hands are on fire right now.
And that's not even what we should be talking about. This is a world champion Brazilian jiu-jitsu competitor. So if it goes to the ground, I think he's gonna have the advantage there. And if he can put his hands on Chris Weidman, we're really going to see a test of his chin.
See, I don't know. I don't think Chris Weidman's going to have a problem with that. Not that Lyoto Machida is the hardest hitter in the world, but he was a guy who fought at light heavy and was able to drop a lot of guys and land strikes, and he did that to Chris Weidman. There was nothing there. I say Gegard Mousasi because he's that guy that will just pace the fight how he wants.
Will bore you into submission.
He will. Yeah. He will, and that's what somebody's going to have to go in there and not really engage Weidman too much because we saw that Weidman's hands are a ton better than they were in an Anderson Silva fight.
Sure.
Are you kidding me? I looked at that, and I was like, wow.
Yeah.
He's a guy that wants to kind of push forward. He wants to wave you at him and kind of get in there and just have you engage. Mousasi's not going to do that. He's going to walk in. Mousasi could take hits.
Yeah.
Mousasi's going to walk and pace you down, and I'm not saying he's going to gas a dude like Chris Weidman, but I could certainly see him go in there and frustrate a guy like Chris Weidman to the point that he would win a decision. I don't think he's knocking him out, and you said Kennedy out of that?
No, I said Rockhold. I like Rockhold a lot. I think Rockhold, you know, in Strikeforce, I think you could have made the argument that Tim Kennedy and Luke Rockhold at one point were essentially two halves of the same coin.
Right.
But style-wise and skill-wise, I like Luke better than I like Tim Kennedy. Both of them, I think, certainly will be fighting for the title at some point, if not in 15, certainly in 16, especially with Chris's injuries when he won't even be back till 15.
How interesting is it when you look at all three of these, when you look at the guys we just put out there, the guy who's loudest and the guy who's won championships?
Right.
Vitor Belfort. But, none of us picked him. I don't think any. Do you think he's getting
in? Clean.
This is the thing. Is like, unless it's going to take place in Brazil, which again, I don't mind.
I do at this point. And it's not because I think he should have to overcome an obstacle, so to speak, Vitor Belfort, of fighting in the USA against a guy like Chris Weidman. I mean, I don't care. Put it in Canada. If you want to find quote unquote neutral ground, I don't know if that's the case. I think you're right. He's got to kind of prove a little something here, especially if he wants to go into a title fight.
But and that's why I didn't pick him. It's not because of a skill level. If you want to put skill level, I certainly want to see that fight. But I don't have a lot of confidence, especially in light of what happened with Vanderlei, in light of what's happened with Chael Sonnen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a lot of faith that he's going to test clean, even if, guys, and this is not disparaging, even if he followed all the rules. It seems like the rules are kind of gray as part of the Chael Sonnen story begins to tell. The other part obviously destroys that. But if the first part was correct, you have a case that we're still figuring out how to do this, and so I don't have a confidence that he could test.
Yeah, I don't either. And I look at the rankings. We talked about all those dudes. I didn't realize I had picked the guy who was lowest ranked, so maybe I was wrong. But
I think the big difference with testing is
none of my friends know how to rank, just like I don't, so don't worry about it.
It's not only that he has to, test clean, but now randomly test clean. That's the game changer. He's passed tests before his whole career,
sure.
Really. Now he has to test random pass. That's what Luke Rockhold was saying, that he won't fight a guy unless they're getting random tests.
Well, and he's hiding out in Brazil. I don't think it's overstating. He's hiding out. He's not
right.
He's not in the U.S. He doesn't want to be anywhere near the commission. I think he's going to have to submit to a hearing before he can be licensed again. Because he pulled
in
himself,
Vegas? Yeah,
yes,
absolutely.
He pulled himself out of the fight, like you mentioned, Eric, and he was supposed to be on this card.
Oh yeah,
he pulled himself out of that hearing. Now he never has to go talk to those guys again, unless he wants to fight here, and probably unless he wants to fight anywhere, because the UFC essentially they give that ultimatum to NSAC. They're going to follow what they do.
And let's just be real here. The only reason they want Vitor Belfort is to put him in main events against somebody with a strap on.
Mm-hmm.
At this point,
yeah.
You want him to fight for a title because everybody else he's been,
Do you really? I mean, we'll probably
Dana
talk about cards
already,
and watering
yeah.
down
Dana
later. You've got so many cards. You can use him in a ton of spots.
Yeah, but I mean, how many is he the Matt Brown of middleweight? How many fights does the guy have to win before? Yeah. Testing
you
aside,
have a card that just got canceled. Yeah. How do you disregard any fighter? I mean, I'm only hoping that that BJ Penn doesn't end up on a card again soon.
We'll talk about that at some point, but we have to move on and talk about.
Wait, real quick again. When's Weidman? What's his timeline right now?
It won't be till 15 when he's back.
What happened to him?
That New Year's Eve card is out.
Unless...
Those were doctor suspensions. He could apply to come back before that and get cleared.
Right.
Yeah, but don't... I don't think that he needs to. I mean,
no.
you may make the case because of what happened week that 76...
No, he doesn't need to. I think he did say he wanted to fight on the New Year's Eve card.
Yeah, him and Ronda wanted to fight in the New Year's Eve.
In the scrum.
One of the reporters said, you want a five-month break? He said, break!
Yeah.
He goes, I train the whole time. I don't know what a break is. MMA media, you got to love the guys. Oh, you want a break 5 months? As if the guy doesn't have to do camps. I think he might apply to come back just before that. Those suspensions are those are pretty standard after the fights, and you can get cleared to spar and do all that before. I wouldn't be surprised because there was nothing specific in there that he's got to do surgeries or anything. But Ronda might have the tougher time.
Yeah.
She had the hand stitched up. And she wants to get her knees cleaned out. She said her knees are not even bad from MMA. It's from all the years of judo.
Yeah.
Didn't look that way in that fight, though, did it?
No, it did
she
not.
She broke her thumb, too.
She broke her thumb in 18 seconds, which is...
16 seconds, yeah.
And I think you look at that fight, and I would say that at one point, and I had read this a couple times this week, when Cyborg again pops up, because that seems to be the next...
That's all we got.
Well, I think you have Kat Zingano, and you can say what you want, but she's still undefeated. It makes for a story. That fight has to happen.
Yeah. Did you see the video this week of Kat had a flying armbar in, like, an ADCC competition? It was in, like, 18 seconds. It was, very much Ronda-esque. Flying armbar to win this Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu competition. It was beautiful.
You can say that, but once you start flying at
Ronda
Rousey, things change around a little bit, so it would be interesting. I'd like to see it happen. I don't think we're going to see it this year. So do you put Kat in there against Cyborg? Because Dana's, are we official yet
No. We're Dana still yelling at the underground. I don't want to hear any of your BS if I sign this thing.
Yeah.
Like he's trying to get us all to sign a petition that we won't harass him. Like
right.
That's going to happen on the internet.
I mean, what you saw, again, is somebody who's getting better and better with each fight. Somebody who walked to the middle of that ring, a la Diego Sanchez, sat down in her punches, and knocked a woman out by hip tossing her on her head, essentially.
Yeah.
It's sick.
So much so that,
there.
Like you joked about it a minute ago, but so much so that there was a good minute that Alexis Davis was fighting the ref.
I think she set a record for shortest fight and longest fight against the ref, because it took her a long time to figure out that she was fighting the referee. It's one of those situations, too, where you could put the whole fight into a GIF.
Yeah,
and
it essentially is out there.
It's floating around. You can watch the whole fight. You don't even need to download a video because that's how short it was. She was dominant, and I watched it at first. And I'm not going to ever say it was a quick stoppage, but when I watched it at first, I'm like, oh, she didn't really have a chance to fight back. She got hit. Yeah, she was gone. I didn't realize how she had landed on her head until I watched the fight again. It took me another 18 seconds to watch the fight again. And she had her pretty much out at that point, and she had flashed back a little bit. That was it. That fight was done.
Yeah, and an impressive performance, the second fastest title fight in UFC history, which, again, leads us to this cyborg road if we're ever going to see it. But she's going to be out for a little bit. You mentioned the broken thumb. She's got a knee issue. If you watched the pay-per-view, you know that Joe Rogan asked her about UFC 176 and apparently got somebody back in the truck fired.
Yeah.
Know that that was thought about for a second.
It turns out it wasn't just some crazy guy in the truck.
It was thought about for a second, and then they decided to think better of it and move along and just cancel UFC 176, which gives Ronda the break that she needs. You guys joked in the scrum at one point. Chris Weidman looks over at Ronda Rousey and says they should do the New Year's Eve fight together because they seem to have really good luck, because every time they're on a card together, they both get to keep their belts.
So does Chris Weidman beat Ronda if they fight again? Is that what we're talking about?
No, I got Ronda by armbar.
Yeah. I might actually take Ronda in that as well. Other fights on the card worth noting. Uriah Hall is maybe not the prettiest fighter on the UFC roster. He's probably the craziest, though, as he fought with a broken toe that continued to have the bone popping out of the wrong side of the skin.
Now, Eric,
nasty.
You and I have been friends for a long time.
Yes.
Done a couple road trips together.
Yep.
We've been to Vegas.
Yes.
For fights.
Yes.
I am very glad that when we were in Vegas, at no point did I hurt myself, because the doctors in Vegas are apparently terrible and will let you just fight with a bone sticking out of your toe.
Well, I think his corner kind of bullied him. You guys obviously watched the fight.
He's fine.
It was like that when we came in there.
His bone was not sticking out.
It was like that was the first round.
First round I can give him. It was only crooked. Yeah. After the second, though, the bone was out. Come on.
At one point, it was like sticking straight up, and he had to go down and adjust it to make it look good.
Have you been to Vegas, Joe?
Yes.
Okay, so there's a lot of urgent cares right on the strip. They're like right inside Walgreens. As there should be. You know, they need to find one of those dudes to come over and say, hey, you know, his bone's sticking out. You know, we would take a homeless guy in and treat him for free if this happened to him. And love the guts. Amazing performance by Uriah Hall. But I'm going to be that guy. That fight should have been stopped.
Sure. I mean, Thiago certainly didn't have a lot for him.
No.
I'm not saying that.
I'm not saying that you're saying that, but that feels like the reason. Like you said, the doctor was bullied.
I think he was.
He's doing well.
The corner was screaming at him.
It's not supposed to be your judgment level, how well he's doing in the fight. And it feels like that actually entered into it.
Yeah. Well, and
it took five people, by the way, to fix his toe. Because the bone was out all the way.
This could be a turning point for Hall, too. He always had the talent to be an exceptional fighter.
And
but
now
he's
missing a toe.
Well, I mean, he fought through adversity, and he didn't, you know, apologize after the fight, which he always does, you know, and go hug the guy for 15 minutes. So this could be a turning point for just an incredible, incredible athlete.
Well, the UFC has been high on him, and they've given him shots they probably wouldn't give to other fighters because they see this.
That, we saw it on Tough.
You know, you saw it on Tough. You see it in a performance like this, that this is the dude who's toe is going one way, bone is going the other. He's still going to kick you with that foot in the head. So,
over and over.
There's something to be said about that. Well, I'll wait and see with some tentativeness on this excitement for him to be, a contender.
I think he has the capability. I agree with everybody, and it's just mental for him.
We were worried about the toughness. Yeah, I mean, I think that's a big deal, and he did well, but I don't think there's any toughness question now.
Not a toughness question. If you want to tell me that he is going to be next in line, and I say this facetiously, if he's going to be next in line for the title at that point, for me, he's got a couple more fights to win. I think this is a great step forward to making him a continued fan favorite, as he always is, which is why he's on the card, on the main card. But we need to put him in with somebody who can test him a little bit,
because
that's certainly the only test in that was his brain and his toe, because his opponent was really not testing him all that much.
Yeah, I mean, to say, I guess with a broken foot, still kicking that guy. And so I guess my whole point, though, is he has the capability of being a top 10 guy. And hopefully this is what gets him over that hump, and we see him make his way into the top 10.
Uriah Faber did everybody involved in that fight in the prelims a favor by bringing out a killer performance from Alex Caceres, because I walked away from that fight thinking that both guys won.
Yeah.
You know, Uriah, as Ken, you'd said on Monday morning, Uriah had a lot to lose if he loses to Alex, and Alex put on a brilliant performance for those first two rounds. But the one thing about Uriah is that Uriah is going 120 for the entire fight, and if you cannot keep up with that pace and you give him a second, he's going to tap you, and he did.
Yeah, both guys come out of that fight looking good because, again, Uriah, if he goes in there and loses, he lost to Bruce Leroy from The Ultimate Fighter.
Yes, right. That's
he
true.
Didn't.
Yes.
He doesn't lose to a great Alex Caceres that we saw on Saturday night. And I'll go as far as saying he had a great performance against Uriah, who was not backing down, who was not giving him any space, and was all over him. I mean, he had a solid performance. He's one of those guys, you look at it, I think you might have even pushed him up in the rankings on that performance with Uriah Faber.
I did, and here is why. So you can send your angry tweets about my rankings. Here is why. Because when I look at that performance, and feel free to disagree with me, Joe, because this is the first time you're hearing this, I see that performance and I go, anybody below five on that list, that Alex Caceres blows right through on Saturday night. Right?
Or Uriah Hall kills Eddie Wineland with that kind of thing, or any of those guys five or below.
Yeah,
I not only agree with you, I wish that there was more ranking just based on performance, not on win-loss.
Well, I just think this is a guy that, he fought up to the test and I think did really, really well. Everybody thought for that Uriah was going to plow right through him in one minute, and it took three rounds, and Uriah had to find a mistake, which is what Uriah's awesome at, and tap him. But Caceres, I think, proves that he needs another test, maybe just slightly lower to get him back on the,
he's somebody, a young guy too.
6'7", 8", right around there. Yeah. And I think he would do very well against those guys. And then, of course, the fight that was scrapped really quickly, Stefan Struve having a medical emergency backstage before his fight with Matt Mitrione. Thank God it happened backstage, because that would have been really detrimental. But he had a fainting spell that they say was not related to the heart condition. I'm not even going to get into what it may or may not be.
Well, essentially it was a panic attack, which overwhelmed him, made him faint, which I could see when you're coming back from something like that, but you got to be 100% sure guy's ready to go. I'm glad they canceled it.
Yes, am I.
Yeah.
Oh, did they need the graphic, though? They put the graphic up? I forget even who was he going to fight.
Matt Mitrione.
Yeah, it said Struve versus Mitrione. Fight has been canceled. And they left that up on the screen, I noticed, for a minute there. I'm like, come on, really? Like, you didn't need to do that. You let us know. Thank you.
You brought a doctor in.
This is what would have happened.
He had a chart.
They would have fought here. It was very weird WWE-ish.
All right, when we come back, we will talk about the retirement of BJ Penn and a whole bunch of news.
Oh, he's coming back.
Let's hope not. A whole bunch of news happening. It's Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
Follow our Twitter account at Wow Show.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric O'Brien, along with Ken Evans, Joby Wan Kenobi, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. We talked UFC 175, and then one night later, it was the Tough 19 finale, which included the fight we talked about earlier with Kevin Lee against Jesse Ronson, where Kevin Lee got his first win in the UFC in a very hard-fought match. For
split decision, right?
As much smaller as Jesse looked, he certainly was a game opponent for Kevin Lee, and very tough for Kevin to execute his game plan that he wanted to. And then the main event was Frankie Edgar going to sparring class on BJ Penn's head for as long as he would like to.
Yeah, that's interesting to watch. Did any of us think
it interesting to watch?
Well,
I don't want to see it again ever.
Yeah. It's interesting to see the fact that he was even let in the cage at that point. I don't know. I mean, it's BJ Penn. It's hard to say no to him, but man, that was just that was hard to watch. I mean,
so BJ's long-term coach, who only came in the last week of camp, said that he was not a fan of this stance. BJ had been training with Henin Barao and Jose Aldo down at Novo Uno.
Yep.
And so BJ was essentially trying to have Henin Barao's stance, which is a very unique stance, that standing tall and.
Yes,
completely didn't work for him.
Well, Henin's stance works because he's going to wheel kick you when you come in to get him.
Exactly.
BJ Penn is not going to wheel kick you.
No, and BJ is usually, even against Frankie Edgar, had a more traditional MMA stance and had great hands and did fantastic standing up. So, I mean, hopefully he would have learned going into the second that stance isn't working, but it led to Frankie being able to just take him down.
What
at will
was the thought process there? And again, I get, he was the prodigy. I get that, but that was a long time. You don't go into a fight and just try to change everything up.
Exactly.
I mean, I guess this happens though. This is what happens. We talked about it last week on the show, week before on the show, a couple times. This fight doesn't make any sense if you really look at what happened in the other fights. So maybe BJ Penn Maybe that's his option. If he goes in there with the same game plan, maybe we go in, we come in here and go, what was he thinking?
Yeah.
So at least he was trying something. It just didn't work at all.
He essentially said the same thing in the post-fight interviews, too. I had no business being in there. You know.
Well, he had to do something different, at least, so maybe that was it. I don't know.
I don't disagree with you, but if somebody's bread and butter is being really, really fast and really good at wrestling, standing up straight and not being as awesome with your legs as you need to be is not a plan that should be on anybody's radar.
Yeah, I mean, essentially kind of just prancing around, too. It wasn't even Hennenbrau's style. It was just a huge tactical error all the way around.
Yeah, well, he was going in there, and he knew he had to do something different. I mean, this... what I'm looking at when I see these two fighters now at this point is we're starting to and we're done, right? We're done with these two guys, I hope.
Frankie?
Yeah. No, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, Frankie BJ, at
yeah,
least.
Yeah.
It just reminds me of how many times, like, Ken Shamrock got to fight Tito Ortiz or Chuck and Tito would fight. You know, just the guys coming in. He's never had a chance, but, boy, we love it. We'll keep paying for it.
Yeah, but I don't see any reason for BJ Penn to step back in that octagon.
He won't. He retired.
He's
going to call.
He's retired like four times.
Yeah, I think this is it for him.
So BJ Machida. You like
that?
Yes.
Yeah, I like that one.
Why not?
The fallout is that Frankie Edgar says he wants to fight Cub Swanson. Cub Swanson, with his brilliant Cub Swanson snark, says, I would like to fight for a belt. And unless I'm misunderstanding something, Frankie Edgar doesn't have one of those. So I do not want to fight Frankie Edgar.
I love when fighters do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They basically did. I mean, we talked about Luke Rockhold in the segment before. These guys are calling everybody out, and it's interesting. Although Frankie Edgar, I mean, that's a hell of a guy to try to just sidestep.
They may have an interim belt, too. That's what Lorenzo was saying. If Jose Aldo can't come back soon enough, but they're talking about an interim belt.
But you still have three people involved in this process. So Chad Mendez would obviously be in that bout, right?
Because
he was going to fight originally.
Chad
so
and probably Frankie, then. It wouldn't even be Cub, would it?
Well, I mean, it depends on what side of the fence you want to be on.
Yeah.
If you're on the Ken Evans, how do we do business side, you're absolutely right. It's Frankie Edgar, Chad Mendez, because that's going to sell tickets. If you're the fight that probably
See, I would disagree with you. But Chad Mendez isn't going to like this. At this point, it's Frankie Edgar, Cub Swanson, because you've got a little bit of heat in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's what Cub knows. Cub knows if we go, I want to fight for a belt. You don't have a belt. Well, it will be for a belt. Well, I'm going to fight you then.
Yeah.
Chad's probably over there like, son of a.
I like that. But yeah, Team Alpha Male would not be very happy about that whole
Chad
process.
Chad.
It wouldn't be the first time those guys.
No, it would not be the first time. That certainly is a possibility. And one I did.
Frankie's in that fight no matter what, because he's the guy that's going to sell out of.
Yes. Out of those three, yes.
Yeah. And I'm looking at the top five here. If you have to take that belt away from Aldo, I mean, there's nobody in the. Well, there's nobody in there in the top 10. I can go all the way through this list. I mean, the only guy that's sort of interesting, we all love him, is Conor McGregor, but he's down there. I mean, I think he's at 12 or 13
right
now.
Fighting next week?
Right. Well, if we went to interim, we wouldn't do this until the end of the year almost.
Well, it's October is when they're...
October, yeah. November? Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I guess Conor could still probably do that. But
that guy's nowhere near Frankie Edgar's name value.
Yes,
right?
Beating Diego Brandão does not make you a title contender,
so it's
going to
be... So right
for
now...
For Conor, it might.
Yes.
The interesting thing is if we go... to this interim title, it's going to be Frankie v. whoever he wants, essentially.
It'll be Chad versus whoever he wants.
No.
Man, I think...
Chad gets the shot.
Chad may get the shot, but you've got Frankie coming off the win against BJ Penn. The only times he's ever lost are to champions in close decisions, and he's the guy that people have actually paid money to see before.
He was scheduled for the fight, though. There's no way they're going to pull him out.
So I don't think they'll pull him out. But if you think this fight goes ahead without Frankie Edgar, you're insane.
That's what I said. Chad and Frankie, interim belt.
But I think that the side of it that we're looking at, and we're agreeing essentially, Frankie's the guy that's selling this fight, though. Chad's not. I don't care if he was in the fight before. Chad was in the fight before because it was going to be against Jose Aldo. Jose Aldo's gone now.
Yes.
So right. Chad Mendez, just because he was there before, he wasn't selling a ticket. I'm sorry. Jose Aldo was going to sell all the tickets here, and if Chad Mendez was able to beat him, well, good. You beat the champ.
Well, and to echo that, they want to put the new fight is rumored to be in Brazil again. So, of course, Aldo's selling the tickets there. There's not a lot of people buying the Chad Mendes.
Right. Well, even pay-per-views or wherever we landed
yes,
with this.
But I mean, to echo that sentiment, if they thought that Chad was the one selling the tickets, they would pick a different location to put that fight
Sacramento
on.
Sacramento or something.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
But they're going to put it in Rio because they know that that's the draw. And if they're looking for a draw, you're right, Frankie Edgar versus whomever, be that Chad Mendes or Cub Swanson. And I don't necessarily, well, I
are we still in Rio? Because the interesting thing here is, have we had an All-American main event in Rio?
I don't know, but people love Frankie Edgar.
Oh, no, they do. I just find
worldwide.
I mean, if it's Chad and Frankie, that's or Cub, I mean, any of those three, it's going to be an All-American headlining fight.
And that might not even happen. So Jose Aldo, he said he needs 3 weeks to recover, and then he's going to decide whether he can take the fight or not from this minor injury. He's got consistent neck problems. So in 3 weeks, they're going to decide if they're going to do an interim bout or if Jose Aldo will be back in.
Well, we've got his this would be the first of one of those, like, hey, we're not waiting 3 years kind of deals, because I think his last fight was January or February.
Yes. Well, and I think we've talked a lot on the show about how the organization hates the interim belt. So I'm sure that there's a stipulation that if you cannot take this fight, you will be fighting in February of 2015 to actually figure this thing out, because we're not going to do the Dominic Cruz.
They can't have guys sit on the sideline this long anymore. We've got a canceled event. They're spread so thin.
Yep.
And we can talk about that later, about the international market and who is doing what and where they're doing it and why they're doing it. But you cannot deny the fact that they're doing so many fights that they had to cancel a card because it simply wasn't thick enough underneath to do anything once the headliner was gone. You have Frankie Edgar and BJ Penn fighting on basic cable 3 weeks before this fight.
Yep.
Tell me that can't headline a card.
Oh, it most certainly. Yeah. I mean, not knowing what happened, no,
right.
But yes, with pretending I didn't know what was going to happen, yeah, I would totally buy that card.
Couldn't they, you know, I like what they do with some cards, and maybe they can get better at this, is have two other top five guys on that card.
No, they can't. They're doing 30
yeah.
fights.
Yeah, yeah.
They got James
Work
Tahuna
it out, people.
Tied
you know,
up.
You're a multi-billion dollar company. Get two other top five, even
they're
top
not,
10 guys
the
in
there. The fighters aren't there. It doesn't matter how much money they have.
Not that I want to spend a lot of time doing this, but name a fighter that's not on the roster that we're missing that isn't named Ben Askren. Name one.
Well, no, I'm just saying a top 10 guy who's currently ranked in the top 10, have them in there. And so if one guy drops out, the fight continues.
Fair enough.
But who's the – you can't. There's too many fights. And you can tell me all day that, this Mark Hunt, James Tahuna fight's important for New Zealand, which it is. But then again, you don't have Mark Hunt or James Tahuna on your next card.
Yep.
And those aren't make or break guys, but
well,
you know what?
And that problem compounds itself when you decide to do two at the same time.
Yes.
Not a week apart, not an hour apart, at the same time.
And we talked about this last week, helping or hurting, as far as this card being on a Sunday after. Well, our consensus, I think, 2 weeks ago was, this can only help the next night. And then the next, I don't know about you, Joe, but I talked to a lot of friends who are MMA fans. Hey, did you see last night? No, not yet, man. It's on the DVR. It was a long night Saturday. Did you watch live Sunday night?
I did.
You did? Yeah. Okay. Well,
I'm a nerd, though.
No. Yeah. There's going to be those dudes, but I know, Eric, you didn't have a chance to.
I didn't because, Sunday night.
Saturday was taken up with fighting all night.
I did something Saturday night. I had a whole bunch of people over. Then Sunday, we had a barbecue, and I just didn't get around to it. And by the time I got around to it, it was 10:30, and I was three hours away from BJ Penn being in the octagon, because that's brilliant on a Sunday. So I didn't make it.
Do you avoid the results and then watch them later?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I watched it the next morning when I got up. But, I mean, if you're going to do it on a Sunday night, I think you've got to end it. But everything's got to be done by 11 like it's the NFL.
Right, yeah, exactly.
You can't go to 1 a.m. on a Sunday night.
Exactly.
And I think that's where if they're going to do these two things in a weekend, I think that's what you've got to do is wrap it all up just like the NFL would.
You got to be done with it. And there's no reason. I get they had to do the finale and all that stuff. There's no reason that card can't start at 7. Especially on a Sunday. Primetime starts at 7.
Well, and Ken.
And if you want to reset it for the West Coast, do it. Reset it. Make it 3 hours. Reset it at 10. So it's 7 airing there. So when somebody, when our versions of ourselves wander into their house at 7 o'clock on Sunday on the West Coast, we walk in. Oh, the fights are on.
Right.
Show it live and then replay it. You're doing that anyways. Just do it earlier.
For sure. And so we continue to deal with that. UFC 176 canceled. In the next segment, we'll talk a little bit about that, and we'll also go over, they had a big Fight Pass announcement on Thursday at 3 o'clock our time. We will talk about that. But before we bounce out of this, we've got a couple other things to talk about. Speaking of Dominick Cruz, he is supposedly back. He's inked for a fight. Let's see if he can make it to that point, as he's going to fight in UFC 178 against Mizugaki, which I like that fight, Joe. But one of our questions of the week from one of our Facebook fans, wonder if Dominick is going to make it the entire distance to get to UFC 178.
He's had plenty of time to recover. So it's not that
this isn't the first time that we've signed him and then he doesn't make it.
You know, I'm just so excited to see him come back. So I'm a little skewed here in that question. I'm dying to see. I mean, he was a champ, guys, you know, and he's had this long to recover. Hopefully he'll be back.
So when you look at this card, and Mizugaki has not had a break like that. Mizugaki's been a fairly busy fighter. Do you see the Frankie Edgar that takes a long break and comes back in Dominick Cruz, or the BJ Penn that takes a long break and comes back to fight Mizugaki?
Yeah, well, so Dominick has said a couple times leading up to other fights that he ring rust wouldn't be an issue for him because he spars and trains so hard. So I guess I got to kind of believe him. And, he's just such an incredible athlete that I don't – this is – so he was a champ. He's not coming back to a championship
fight. No, nor should he.
So you can call this a tune-up fight.
Yeah.
So he could. He's coming back for a tune-up fight. He says he doesn't get ring rust. We got to give him the benefit of the doubt.
And if he loses?
To Mizugaki? Not good. Okay. Not good.
All right. Other things. Overeem has got a new fight. He's going to be fighting Ben Rothwell on the 5th of September. And then in a weird turn of events that I'm not quite sure that I can make heads or tails of, and I'm hoping, Joe, you can jump in here and figure this out. It was also announced this week that Andrei Arlovsky gets another fight in the UFC. Not so weird, right? His terrible performance against Brendan Schaub. Okay, fine. We get another fight. This fight is a main event, like the main event, the top of the card, against Bigfoot Silva.
Is it in Mother Russia?
I actually don't know where.
No, neither do I.
You know, I don't know where it is, but you barely got past Brendan Schaub.
Yeah.
Why do you feed him to a guy who is a title contender at any point that you want to call him?
Yeah, I think it's got to be another one of those feature fights. You know, this is probably going to be a fight pass card.
What is this one called? The Murder of Andrei Arlovsky? Like, what? I mean, what?
Yeah.
I'm not being glib.
No, when you I completely agree with you.
When you look at that fight, they both look slow. They both looked out of it.
Right.
And Andrei Arlovsky did not look like the Andrei of old, and I don't expect him to. Some years have passed.
Yeah.
But
I think, if anything, we expected him to get cut after that and not get a main event
certainly
card.
And on the other side, Bigfoot, save for the performances against Cain Velasquez, which, let's remember, Cain is the champion.
Right.
Bigfoot looks better and better in all of these fights. He's like the Uriah.
He took out Aleister Overeem.
Yeah, he's the Uriah Faber of the heavyweight division. Like, if you don't have a belt involved in the UFC, he's a pretty game opponent who's going to take you to the limits of what you can do and make you earn it.
It's got to be a feature fight pass or some, you know, lower product card. And they're both names. People know who both they are. So it's not, we're not going to watch this for their performance capability. We're watching it for the names, for all the Arlovsky fans from back in the day, which there's a ton of them. And who knows, he might have drawn in that last event. They watch all those numbers. Maybe he is still pulling fans. I mean, we're talking about him. If it was any other heavyweight, we wouldn't be talking
about him. No, I'm talking
about
him because I'm scared for him. I saw
you're worried
that fight,
for him.
And I'm like, why
I'm
would you?
I'm sincerely worried for
like,
you.
Like, why would you take this fight, dude? Like, never mind the insanity of that performance gaining you a main event slot at UFC Fight Night 51, which is when it's going to happen. But you're going against an actual contender. You know, Brendan Schaub has had his moments in the sun, but he's been very wishy-washy as of late, and certainly nobody I would consider a contender at this point. And losing to Andrei Arlovsky certainly tarnishes that.
I know why Arlovsky would take it. It's a payday, and he's still in you playing with the big boys. He's not going to hang him up. You know, he's a
competitor. I'm not asking him to hang him up, but wouldn't you want to put him in a performance that he could thrive?
The UFC should, I mean, you know, like, maybe headline a prelim to
Mitrione
get all the old
looks
fans
like
in.
He's, you know, Mitrione looks like he's
the meathead.
Well, I mean, he had a fight that got canceled. Why don't you do that and don't make it a main event?
It's a feature fight, man, and I think it'll still they would only put this together. They know what they're doing as far as business goes. They would only put this together if they knew there was a certain fan base interested in this.
You have a lot of faith in them, Joe. A lot of faith.
Giving him the benefit of the doubt.
Speaking of a lot of faith, I know you and Ken talk a lot about the WWE. You know, both of your sons are really into it, so you're both kind of following along. We've talked about the number of people that have hinted at going over to the Vince McMahon world when their careers are over. And a new guy mentioned this week by Dave Meltzer, who's an expert in the industry of the WWE, says that Rashad Evans at age 35, coming off knee surgery, is thinking seriously about making the jump over. Which I know before the show started, you got really, really excited about. The interesting thing is when, I guess when they talk to Vince McMahon, he's really concerned about these guys. And here's why, which I find fascinating. He doesn't think that they can cut it. Not athletically. What? Not athletically. He doesn't think that they can do the schedule.
It is a tough schedule.
Because you're MMA fighting two or three times a year. Yeah. Four if you're Faber or Chael Sonnen. But most people, two or three times a year. This is 300 days of the year you're doing a performance.
Yeah. Could that just be fodder, though? Is that one way for him to kind of bump up his promotion?
Maybe.
To say, well, I don't know. The WWE is pretty tough. I don't know if these UFC guys can cut it.
That's a pretty big jump. You know, you're not
so
staying
can
in
he co-promote? Are they going to be frenemies again?
I don't
like, would
know.
It be all WWE?
I don't know, because Rashad certainly does some work for Fox.
Yeah, yeah.
And
it's got to be a co-promotion because he's in line for a title shot. So he's not going to jump to WWE
and this story didn't say that he was going to do that. It certainly said that he was thinking about it as his career winds up, and if he's in line for a title shot, maybe he takes that shot and then he's gone. I don't know, but he wanted to, in the interview, wanted to get out before there was too much damage done, or he couldn't compete, or whatever. But I don't know that the UFC would ever set it up to be what TNA and Bellator tried for a half a minute that didn't work at all.
Right.
That said, Vince and Dana are friends, and they exchange information back and forth. I just think that they kind of want to keep it separate because there is some there's some cannibalism of an audience,
right,
depending on when events are.
How great would it be to see Rashad in WWE? He's such a personality. He would be a total heel, and I think it would be entertaining.
What would you
watch?
I'll tell you what I would be really interested in is Rashad Evans and Chael Sonnen as tag team partners in the WWE.
Awesome.
That I would be really interested in that. If you're if you're looking at something where two guys need something to do, that is an area where
I'd like to see more of that. More ex-UFC guys go into WWE.
And I don't think it hurts either brand, because I think there are more people like you and Ken than either brand probably cares to admit.
Keeps it fun.
It keeps it fun, and it keeps it on top of mind. You know,
yeah, for sure.
You got the WWE twice a week every week. You got the Ultimate Fighter on Wednesday nights, and then you've got pay-per-views.
And it's almost a retirement path for these guys, too. They can still get paid really well. Or look at Brock Lesnar, right? So Brock only wrestles a couple times a year, and he's getting paid.
He is getting paid, but he came in under different circumstances. I don't know that anyone would agree that a retirement package should include working 300 days a year in a plane or bus or a train.
Well, look at the flip side of that. The retired WWE or WWF guys, a lot of times it's sad. They're doing, you know, tiny arena shows, and it's just a sad thing.
Yeah. Well, they're not going to let those guys go to the UFC.
Right,
so,
exactly.
All right, when we come back, we'll talk about the Fight Pass announcement. We'll talk about what could happen to avoid the cancellation of UFC 176 and a lot more. It's Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
Way of the Warrior. Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior. Eric O'Brien along with Ken Evans and Joby Wan Kenobi covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. And as with every week, we can't blink without breaking stories happening even while we're on the air. And while we were on the air, three big things happened. We'll cover the first one that you might be most interested in, which is we talk a lot about performance-enhancing drugs, and we talk a lot about Vitor Belfort and Chael Sonnen and Wanderlei Silva, and all. What will this implication of guys coming off TRT have on the sport? And then a guy like Luke Rockhold comes out and goes, hey, I'm pretty sure like 70% of the guys in the UFC are using something. And most people go, now that can't possibly be true. And then 5 minutes later, Ali Bagatinov, who just fought for a title against Mighty Mouse, pops dirty.
That's interesting, too, because we were in a world of random testing. We're in a world where guys are going to get tested at the fights. He should know better because he's in a title fight. Any main event fighter gets the most testing, gets the most scrutiny, and this guy was trying to use against Demetrius Johnson in that title fight. That's interesting.
And I know you love when fighters use awesome snark, and I think Johnson's response to the test coming back unclean was brilliant, where he says, look, guys, if this is going to be a thing, don't worry about it, because talent beats drugs every time.
Ooh. Shots. I wish he could deliver a KO blow like that in the cage. How about that, Demetrius? I'm not taking anything away from him, but he just came off the worst performing pay-per-view in history.
He comes off the worst performing pay-per-view and then gets another horrible bit of news, which also came out on Thursday, and that is that Dodson blew his ACL out.
Uh-oh.
So his next opponent in line, which is the opponent for him, they are arch nemesises. Each of them kind of get angry when you talk about one another. John Dodson is out till 2015.
Yeah, but you're missing our next bit of news. Holly Holm is perfect to fight Demetrius Johnson.
Right, yes.
She's 18-time world champion kickboxer.
Holly Holm has been signed to the UFC this week. We talked a little bit about in a couple segments ago about Kat Zingano and how we thought she was going to get the next shot. And then Kat got a fight, and it wasn't against Ronda Rousey. And
well, Kat can't wait on Ronda at this point. Ronda's
got
the knee scope. Ronda's got the hand problems.
I totally understand. But when you've been out, there's really not much hurry to get back in. You could have waited till the end of this year, I think. But anyway, she has a fight at UFC 178, which is exciting for her. And we get Holly Holm and Ronda Rousey probably next.
Which, I'm going to be honest, I love the signing. Not a chance. I mean, remember, this is somebody who we talked about that could probably beat Floyd Mayweather if it came down to it. And I'm talking about Ronda Rousey.
Sure.
A lot of people have said that. She goes in, as long as she doesn't get punched, she's going to take him down and submit him. So why would somebody who's simply a boxer, which when you look at her record, that's what she is. She's essentially a boxer. Why would she have anything for Ronda Rousey in this fight?
Which begs the next question, Ken, is if you make this high-profile signing, which, make no mistake, in the world of women's boxing and women MMA, Holly Holm is a big signing for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so you make this big signing, you got to ask yourself, do you really want to blow it on this one thing? Because most casual fans who are listening to us even right now have no idea who she is.
Well, the only reason you sign Holly Holm is the fact that you've got somebody who's quote-unquote an undefeated fighter. And at least, and we talked about this with Kat Zingano, you said it earlier in the show, Kat Zingano's, she's undefeated. She's there for her shot. That's how we at least tell the stories now, because it's getting hard to tell the stories with Ronda Rousey without just thinking she's going to go in there and blow right through somebody. Her best opponent, I think, and I've maintained this, is still Miesha Tate. You can't tell that story anymore. Not for a long time, at least. So, at least with Kat Zingano, if she gets through that next fight that she's scheduled for, at least with Holly Holm, you've got undefeated fighters. And you've got somebody who's never lost, taking on the champion. You can always tell that story. And right now, that's the story we're looking at. I mean, Dana White's going to be scouring Fight Pass here as they start. And I know we'll talk about Invicta here in a second. Going to be scouring Fight Pass for any women who just simply have not lost.
Well, and I think that's the final bit of breaking news out of this week is that the Fight Pass announcement is that they are moving Invicta to Fight Pass. You'll be able to watch Invicta on Fight Pass.
You can already see the entire library.
You can see the entire library. Now you'll be able to see the live events on Fight Pass, starting with Invicta 8. And why this is important, number one, like Ken just said, because they're going to begin to scour the Invicta lineup looking for anybody who's undefeated. Why it's important, number two, is what we talked about maybe 15, 20 minutes ago. The plan here is to get Invicta-signed fighter Chris Cyborg Santos down to 135, have her test clean, and then leave Invicta to come to the UFC to fight Ronda Rousey. And this is a huge step in elevating that profile and making that a real thing.
It is, but
it's a real thing.
Is anybody watching?
Real thing.
Is anybody?
But it doesn't matter. What matters, Ken, I think, much like the Shooto announcement they made a couple weeks back to get the 125 and 135 fighters out of Japan, is that they're making a commitment to the things that we think they need to.
Oh no, no,
drum
of course.
Up,
of
you
course.
Know,
I'm not disagreeing at all. It's just it seems like a very weird situation for them, and I know that. If they're going to really build this women's division, they need more women. We talked about I want to say we talked about this 3 years ago. Whenever Invicta showed up, as soon as Invicta showed up, okay, UFC needs to just go buy them.
Yes.
Because if they want to do this women's thing and make it real, as soon as they sign Ronda, then they need to do this. Cyborg is front and center right now on the Fight Pass page.
As she should be, because this is the plan. And you make fun of... you make fun of the ranking system.
Oh, yeah, I do that a lot.
To some extent, rightly so. When you get down to the women's division, Ken, they all essentially make the top 15 because there's only 18 total fighters on the roster.
Right. Well, and we're taking another step toward that, too. I'm hoping that this Ultimate Fighter, and I know I've kind of bagged on the Ultimate Fighter a little bit, but the difference here is we might actually have some of the best women in the world. Because remember season one of the Ultimate Fighter? Those were some of the best fighters that hadn't been signed.
Well, and
that could be the case with these women.
And we have talked ad nauseum about the different shades of the Ultimate Fighter, and this is yet again a totally different shade. It's going to be a different weight class for the women's division, and the winner of that tough finale ends up being an instant champion,
right.
which you want to bring more women into mixed martial arts. You add a weight class and add a champion because now you have two people to pay attention to. And when we get to talking about UFC 176 being canceled, well, having more champions on your roster, while at this point you're going to laugh at me thinking that we could headline a pay-per-view with a woman in another women's division, but that time will come, just like Ronda Rousey gets people to buy a pay-per-view.
I don't laugh at that. I mean, you can use that as a headliner for a Fox card or
sure.
a Fox Sports card. I mean,
and then move somebody else to the pay-per-view.
Exactly.
Yeah, but you need more champions, and that's why they've made this investment at 125 and 135 for the men, and the same investment on the women's side. And so, some big news coming out of the UFC. We will cover everything if anything else possible breaks this week.
Facebook.
We will keep
Twitter.
You covered on Facebook and Twitter by searching WOW Show. Have an awesome weekend. We will see you next week. It's Way of the Warrior. It's your MMA show.
Follow our Twitter account at WOW Show.